And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, once again. It is October 4th, 2008. As usual, you are listening to the Liberty Hour with at least one of your hosts, Mark Glenn, top reporter with American Free Press newspaper. Please check it out on the internet at AmericanFreePress.net. I don't need to tell you that there's a lot of good stuff in the newspaper to read, stuff that you're not going to find in any mainstream newspaper. And, of course, along with me is my very good friend, my brother-in-arms, Phil Turney, war hero, survivor of Israel's deliberate, premeditated, murderous attack on the USS Liberty 41 years ago this past June. Phil, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Mark. Good morning. How are you? And glad to be on the air again this Saturday morning with all of our good guests and listeners. Thank you.
Yes, it's good. Mark, here, you know, it's funny you say that, Phil, that, you know, we're glad to be here again. Of course, we are glad to be here, but I think that there is something very important about what you're saying that is not maybe readily apparent, which is with the way things are going these days, we really need to be grateful every week that we all are together again, given the way things are going. Of course, on the surface, the average person who doesn't really pay much attention to the news, other than the sports scores or the latest goings-on with any of your Hollywood types, to this person, everything is basically okay. But we know differently. We know that our country is at war, and we're not just talking about the war in the Middle East with Iraq and Afghanistan. It's a much bigger war. For the soul of our country. Of course, this was effectively manifested this week with this bailout vote in the Congress. The fact that there is such overwhelming opposition to this thing on the part of at least a portion of the American public. And yet you have our elected members of Congress who we put there ostensibly for the purpose of doing our bidding, and yet they're going to go right along with what is not good for our country, and basically they are going to provide aid and comfort to our enemies. Anyway, we'll get into that a little bit later. We have a very special guest lined up for this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Her name is Mary Anderson, and she was on one of the boats that sailed to Gaza last month to bring aid supplies to the besieged Palestinian people in Gaza. And she has some extremely interesting stories to tell us about what she experienced when she was on the ship, everything leading up to it, and then everything that took place afterwards. Phil and I had a nice conversation with her yesterday. And in addition to being obviously a very pleasant woman, she's one of the bravest people I think I have ever encountered in my life. Just getting into a fishing boat, a small little bass boat, the thought of that makes me very nervous because I'm not particularly fond of deep water. But for her to get on this boat and to sail basically into the jaws of death, going up against not just one of the most powerful military forces in the world, but certainly one of the most vicious military forces in the world, and I'm talking about Israel. And yet this elderly, sweet elderly woman decided to put all of her comfort to the side and to do this. So she's going to be on with us, and then, of course, your phone calls and discussion of this week's news. So there's our music. We will be back in three. Everybody stay tuned.
You've heard the commercials on Life Change Tea, the all-natural, clean-your-system-and-lose-weight product. Well, maybe you don't believe. Maybe you doubt. For those who don't believe, we will give you a money-back guarantee. That's right, a 45-day money-back guarantee. Some restrictions apply. That's right, if you don't feel better and lose weight, you can get your money back. So what are you waiting for? Call now. Friendly operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can go to LifeChangeTea.com. Read up on us. You have nothing to lose. But wait.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest. Is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40. And by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms. And they do not go away. Take Superbeta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Superbeta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Super Beta Prostate banner to learn more about the product. Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, thin, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on to the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
Here we are, another Saturday morning. This is a great day to be with you. And we have a great guest, Mary Hughes, as Mark was saying, was on the on one of the boats, she was on the SS Liberty. And I wanted to start off this morning by thanking, of course, RBN and John Stattmiller and Manny and the whole crew that helps us get this show out to everybody. We certainly appreciate their help and support, and we need it tremendously to keep this show going, because this show is very, very important to so many of us out there, more important than probably most people know. And everybody knows that Mark and I got this show going, mostly Mark more than me, in dedication of the 34 men that were killed, murdered aboard the USS Liberty June 8, 1967, by the government of Israel, and 174 that were wounded. And it is, it's a thorn in our sides, and it should be a thorn in your side. And I know it's a thorn in Israel's side, and it's a great big thorn in the side of America. And it's a very disgraceful thorn that's in the side of America, leaving their shipmates out there to be murdered by a foreign government when they knew we needed help is despicable. You can't go into the words to say how terrible it is. And you know, the old saying is, you don't leave your men behind. You don't even leave your dead behind. But our government left a whole ship behind. I guess they thought we were just a whole ship of fools, but we're not. We're here 41 years later talking about this, remembering our shipmates as they should be remembered, as great American heroes, the men that were wounded, They're great American heroes. The men that weren't wounded, they're great American heroes. We all survived this together. And sorry to say, we have one of our shipmates, a very dear shipmate of all the crew, Dr. Richard Kiefer. He's been sick, and we all, you know, hope everybody prays for him and that he gets better. And he's been through so much in his life. He's been through the Liberty. He had to bail out of a jet one time, and he landed in a bunch of trees, and it tore his arm up, and he was a surgeon, and it basically ruined his career as being a surgeon, but he went on to stay a doctor for quite some time, and he still is a doctor, a great, great man and a good friend of mine. So please, everybody, remember Dr. Richard Kiefer, one of the great heroes aboard the Liberty, and should have received the Medal of Honor for what he did that day. And I also want to do something a little bit different that I haven't done on this show before, is to remember one of the dead each week. And I'm going to start out this week with a gentleman by the name of Francis Brown. He was a petty officer aboard the ship, and he was also a plank owner. What that means is that he was with the ship when it was commissioned, and that's where he died, is aboard the Liberty. I saw him quite a bit on the beach. What on the beach is like on Liberty, maybe at a bar, shooting pool or whatever. And he was just a great, great kid, full of life. We were both 20 years old, and he was just a great pool shooter. I mean, he would he knew how to get the money out of you. But when you were all broke and your spirits were down, you could spend the rest of the day with him, and he would spend every dime he took off you and buy you all the beer you ever wanted and help you get back to the ship. Just one heck of a nice guy. You couldn't ask for a better man. And he was cut down at 20 years old by an Israeli armor-piercing bullet that caught him right in the back of the head and killed him instantly. And I saw Francis just a few minutes before he died. I was up on the bridge, and when I'd gotten back, I had fallen in his blood, carrying some CO2 bottles, and fell flat on my back, and my dear friend lay dead right by the helm. He was the helmsman, and he never left his post, ladies and gentlemen. What a brave, brave man. I believe Francis received the Navy Cross for that, and he certainly deserved it. So every week I'm going to remember one of these dead dead men and give them all the honor that we can. And we're not going to leave him behind. Mark and I are not going to leave him behind. John Gadusko is not going to leave him behind with his website. And John was a former intelligence officer aboard Liberty. He got off just before the ship got attacked, and thank God he did, or he would probably not be here right now. But John, his website, you know, has all you need to know about the Liberty. Just go to usslibertywordpress.com. Go to usslibertywordpress.com and go to USS Liberty, and John's got a beautiful website there. You can find everything you need to know about the USS Liberty. And remember us, because I'll tell you what, the USS Liberty is the key, ladies and gentlemen. It's the key to breaking our passionate attachment to Israel. Once we get the public out there to understand what Israel did to the brave men of the Liberty, and what they did to the United States, and what they did to you, because they tried to kill you just as they tried to kill us. There's no difference. We may have been aboard that ship 41 years ago, but the war still goes on. They're still shooting those bullets at us. And if you don't understand that, ladies and gentlemen, you need to get it clear now, because it is. It's happening to us. Our country's going to the dumps. We're fighting wars for Israel. We're bailing out the people in the Wall Street that are busting this country, and now we're giving them more money. What for, I don't know. But this show, and I hope shows like it, will get the word out and let people know, and let your Congress people know that, hey, Israel doesn't run this country. We do. And always remember the USS Liberty, and remember guys like James Morris that help us out so much. And there's so many others, I can't mention them all. Miriam Adams, and they're on the internet all the time, just doing everything they can for us. And I want to say one more thing. I was on C-SPAN yesterday morning with the help of James Morris, and I got to say a few things before they cut me off, rudely cut me off. But boy, when you bring up the word USS Liberty and Israel murdering Americans on the high seas, boy, they sure cut you off quick. And if I was an Iraqi war veteran, come back from Iraq, I could probably still be talking on there right now. Or if I was a WW2 vet that fought the Germans, I could be on there right now. Or that fought the Japanese. But that just goes to show you who the media supports, who the newspapers support, who the televisions support, TV stations. They all support Zionist media, Zionist television. And, of course, they support Israel no matter what they do. Well, let's not support them. Let's not forget the human beings in Palestine, the people that are being treated like dogs and animals. We can't forget them. It's our duty as human beings, as humans on this earth. They're fellow humans. So let's not forget them. And I went a little long, but I think I said some things that had to be said. And, again, let's not forget Francis Brown. And I'll finish with what the Navy said about him. And it's not very long. This isn't the full award he got, but it says, fearlessly exposed himself to overwhelmingly accurate rocket machine gun fire while acting as helmsman. That was his damage control station. Steadfastly maintained the ordered course while many men in the immediate area received serious and fatal injuries. He remained at his post until he was felled by a strafing fire from the torpedo boats. At that moment, the torpedo struck the ship. It wasn't quite exactly that fast, but I mean, you can't get everything perfectly in these books, but it was a little bit before the torpedo hit that Francis was struck down, because I was on the bridge just a few minutes before he was killed. Mark, if you want to go ahead and take over, please do.
Hi, Phil. First of all, thanks for doing that. I didn't know you were going to do that, and I guess it added a seriousness to the mood this morning, more seriousness than what is usually here. But, you know, I think it helps to put a human face and a human name on what took place. And all I can say is that I'm sorry that you lost your friend, Phil, especially in this manner. His blood still cries out for justice. It still cries out to this day. And like you said, Phil, you and I are going to do what we can to make sure that he gets that justice. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, as I said, we have a guest this morning. I apologize to Mary because I called her Mary Anderson. I was looking at a different name on my sheet here, but her name is Mary Hughes, and she is, as you're going to see here very soon, she has an infectious personality. She was on board the SS Liberty, one of these ships, civilian ships that sailed to Gaza last month, in order to bring much-needed humanitarian supplies to the besieged Muslim and Christian Palestinians living in Gaza. And she has some fascinating tales to tell us about her time on there. And from what I understand, she has spent time with the Palestinians as well, and has some very, well, to call it interesting is a severe understatement, I would say. Stuff that will make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. Some of it is so frightening. Anyway, without any further delay, let's bring Mary up. Mary, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you for coming on, and we apologize for bringing you on late, but I think that you can appreciate what it was Phil was saying.
Absolutely. I really am privileged to talk to you and to your listeners, and I'm so glad that he said that, because one of the things that we wanted to do when we
Mary,
failed...
Mary, I'm sorry to do this to you. We've got the music going to break. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
We wanted to personalize them. You know, people talk about the, you know, the 134 men who died, but...
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how, in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
And we're back, folks. We have with us today as our guest, Mary Hughes. Now, Mary, unless I'm wrong, are you with the International Solidarity Movement?
I was. I went first to Palestine in 2002 with the Christian Peacemaker teams.
Oh, great. Okay.
I just decided that I wanted to go to Palestine, and I had no idea how you go to Palestine. I didn't know anybody who had ever been to Palestine. And so I just started telling everybody I knew, I'm going to go to Palestine. And my friends, of course, said, are you nuts? You know, this is the worst time to go to Palestine. And I said, no, that's exactly why I need to go. You know, and I figured, you know, I lived through a war. I was a child in England during World War II, and I figured, you know, I've seen it all. They can't faze me. It would be really interesting for me to see this firsthand. And so I was asking everybody I knew, how do I go to Palestine? And finally somebody knew somebody who had been there with the Christian Peacemaker teams. So I was excited, and I talked with her, and she was a Mennonite. The Christian Peacemaker teams are mostly Mennonites and Quakers. I said, okay, how do I do it? And she said, well, you fly to Tel Aviv. And I said, well, why would I fly to Tel Aviv? I don't want to go to Israel. I want to go to Palestine. Because she laughed at me and said, you know, well, you don't understand. You can't go to Palestine. Israel controls everything to do with Palestine, getting in, getting out, and actually existing there. So I joined up with the Christian Peacemakers, and I was very fortunate because after they checked me out, they were putting together an emergency delegation in April of 2002, which was when the Israelis were driving their tanks into Jenin and Nablus and Ramallah and Bethlehem. And I was, I went to all of those places, but I spent most of the time in Nablus. And I'd never heard of Nablus before, and I thought I knew about war, but I had never before seen the bodies of little children mangled up by tanks that had run over them. I still can't quite look at the photographs that I took of those little dead boys. And I went there with never thinking that I would go back again, but the very same year I decided I needed to go back for the olive harvest. So at that time I decided to go with the International Solidarity Movement, and I've been to Palestine. My trip to Gaza last month was my seventh trip to Palestine since 2002.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mary, you don't find many people who decide to walk away from their comfortable Western American existence and basically go into not just a war zone but a hell on earth. Why did you decide to do this? What made you decide to pack up and leave comfort of the United States and basically go and see the worst things that human beings are capable of seeing?
Well, I have to say that I really wasn't prepared for what I saw. I didn't know very much about it, but I had worked in the television documentary business in Los Angeles, and I had been I'd done research on things about Israel and the Sinai and things like that. And I had over the years kind of been a little bit aware. I started out thinking, wasn't it beautiful that, you know, the Jews got a homeland? I mean, I thought that was really nice. They'd suffered so much, and why not let them have this open space where there was no people? And it sounded lovely. And as the years went by and I started to learn more, I became a little bit suspicious of what was going on there. And then I think during this intifada, I think what got me going was the live television coverage of the little boy in Gaza, Mohammed Al-Dura, who was hiding with his father behind a concrete block wall while the Israelis were shooting at him. And we actually saw, you know, we actually saw him get killed live. And I thought, you know, I'm always talking about Palestine. I'm always writing letters to the editor about all of the dreadful things that I think Israel is doing. And, I'm retired now, and I've no excuse for this. I need to, you know, get over there and look at it for myself and see what's happening. And just stray a little bit from that, the following year, by the way, 2003, I went to Iraq because I wanted to see what was going on there, too. You know, when we went into Iraq and liberated them, I thought, you know, I really need to go there and see for myself. And that was, you know, really a wonderful experience for me, too. And I was very safe in Iraq. That was 3 months after we liberated them, and I walked around Baghdad, and I walked around Basra, and nobody bothered me. This is just kind of a bit of my nature. Well, in the first place, I wanted to see what Israel was doing. By the time 2003 came around, I started to want to see what America was doing, because it dawned on me, maybe not suddenly, that America didn't always tell the truth. So I thought, you know, I'm just going to go to Iraq. And again, I had an opportunity to go with the Christian Peacemaker teams. So as far as why would you do it, I'm just curious, I guess. And I'm a little bit cynical, and I wanted to see for myself just what it was like for the Palestinian people. And it was an education. I realized that I didn't even know about the settlements. I didn't even know there were such things as settlements. I didn't know about checkpoints and roadblocks. And I don't know what I expected, but I wanted to see for myself. And, you know, I don't know why anybody wouldn't do it. But as far as going
Mary,
there, you get...
Mary, I'm sorry to interrupt, honey. Hold on. We have to go to a break. We will be right back. So hold that thought.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, fen, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
The stock market is crazy. The chemtrails are spraying us with their chemicals. It's time to think about what is important. Most forget just how important life is. Life Change Tea removes toxins, chemicals, parasites, and bacteria that store up in your body. It cleanses you and gives you results in hours. And one of the wonderful side effects from this product is you lose weight. That's right, you lose weight. And on top of that, there's a 45-day money-back guarantee. So why wait? Call now. Operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. I'll say it again. 928-308-0408. Or order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, stock market may crash, but you don't have to go with it.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. We've already got a half hour done. Time really flies in this show. It just seems like it. We just never have enough time. But we're so glad to have Mary Hughes on the air with us. A very, very, very brave woman that went to sea to break a blockade. And this woman and her crewmates, they made history, and they'll be in the history books forever. Nobody else has ever done it, but they did. And you know, Mary, as I was listening, you were talking about those little children being killed and run over and shot. And those are God's children. They're little babies, and they have nobody else to take care of them but their families, which have nothing to take care of them. And to be shot and murdered and killed like that, I just really commend you for putting yourself on the line and being on the show with it. And letting the rest of the world know what's going on. If you'd please just go ahead and go ahead and tell your story, Mary, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I just really want to say that the first time I went, I was curious. And after that, I just became so involved. That's what happens, I think, to people when they get involved in any kind of a human rights cause. You get drawn into it. And all the people wanted for me was to please go back to your country and tell them about our suffering. And that's what we do. That's what we do. When I went that first time, I really never planned to go back. But each time I go, I feel, every time I leave, I feel sad and I feel guilty because I can leave. I can come and I can go. They cannot leave. And now it's not so easy for me, I have to say, that now I think that if I tried it, I was there a year ago in the West Bank, and I think I'm going to be very, very lucky to get in again because the Israelis work very, very hard to keep out anybody who wants to witness what they're doing. They try very, very hard to keep you from getting in, and they're quite successful at it. But there are people of many ages there. There was a woman with us on this, on the boat trip, who was on the Liberty, and she's 81 years old, and she's a Catholic nun. And she, I met her first when I went to Palestine the very first time in April of 2002, and we stood together in Bethlehem at the Church of the Nativity, which was under siege, and we stood there with food, asking the soldiers to please let us go and take food into the hostages who were inside of the Church of the Nativity. And, of course, they wouldn't let us. And she was, I met her then the first time. The following year, I was with her in Iraq. And this woman is a little tiny little bird of a woman. And now she's 81 years old. And she was on the Liberty with us. And so, and I'm younger than she is. And when I was in 2002 at the olive harvest in Palestine, I was unlucky enough to be in the middle of a little orange olive grove outside of Nablus with a man from Wisconsin who was at that time 74 years old, and I was at the time 68, and we were attacked by settlers from the Jewish settlement of Itamar, who come down. They had chased everybody out of this village. All the Palestinians had left, and we, along with some Israeli Jewish human rights groups, had said, please come back, and we'll protect you from the settlers. So they started to come back, and on a lovely Sunday morning in October of 2002, we were in the olive grove helping them gather their olives, and suddenly this seven or eight young settlers, some of them were from Brooklyn, by the way they talk, and they physically attacked us. We were able to protect the Palestinians. They all got away. But James and I, who, as I said, was 74 years old, we were both separately cornered, and he had a punctured lung and broken ribs, and he was beaten quite badly. I was beaten less badly than he was because they saw that I had a bag, and they, after they beat me up somewhat and threatened me and yelled at me and kicked me to the ground, one of them took my bag, and they took everything from me, all my money, my plane ticket, my passport, my driver's license, and my credit cards, my jacket, my camera, my hearing aids, and they just took off with them. And meanwhile, of course, the Israeli army was sitting there in one of their jeeps watching this taking place, and they did nothing to interfere. So I certainly, I'm not the oldest person. There are very, very many young, very young people, and as I said, you'll get people in their 80s who go there time after time after time. And on the on our boats, we have another woman who unfortunately took sick in Cyprus, wasn't able to come with us, but she's 83, and that's Hedy Epstein. She's a Holocaust survivor, and she also has been with me several times in Palestine. She's been abused by Israeli security. She was strip searched and body cavity searched at the age of 80 by the Mossad at the airport, and they don't like her because even though her parents both died in Auschwitz, they don't like her because she supports the Palestinian human rights. So there are a lot of us, and we keep going back because we can't stay away.
Mary, I have to say that that story you just said is just it's just terrible. It doesn't surprise me, but you know, you were beaten up, you were robbed, you could have been killed very easily. Your friend could have been killed, and these were done by some punks with a Brooklyn accent that came over from America, no doubt, that have dual citizenship, and after what they did to you, they can walk right back into America without a word said, and they get by with it, and the Israeli soldiers let them do this to you. What kind of world are we living in what do the Israelis think that they're doing here? How do they figure they can get by with all this?
Well, they get by with it because they can, and they get by with it because America continues to finance it. You know, Israel is a sacred cow. Israel can do anything it wants in the United States. They can demonize Muslims, they can demonize Arabs, they can treat Palestinians like animals, they can accuse Palestinians of being terrorists. Any Palestinian is a terrorist. And America allows that to happen. We support it. And so, you know, they're the eternal victims, and the world, most of the world thinks that Israel is this little tiny little state struggling to survive, surrounded by all of these Arabs who are trying to drive them into the sea. And the truth is that Israel has not been the victim in, you know, 5 or 6 decades. Israel is the victimizer. Israel is a predator. And America knows this. We know it, but we do it because our politicians don't have the honesty to tell the truth. And if they do, they don't get elected or they don't get reelected. And there's no way they don't know what's going on over there. They go over there and they supposedly talk to, you know, Abbas, and they used to talk to Arafat, and then they come back and, you know, they just, it's just lip service. There's no way that they don't know what Israel is doing. And yet we continue to pour billions and billions of dollars into the Israeli economy to help them to build these illegal settlements. And everything we say is just talk. They must stop building settlements. We're not happy because of what they're doing here or there or the other. In 2002, our government was saying, you know, Bush was saying, well, you know, Mr. Sharon really needs to stop that. They need to pull their tanks back. And Sharon was saying, oh, no, no, we have an understanding with President Bush. He knows what we're doing. And everybody knows. It's just all bull. And so, as I said, Israel's a sacred cow. There's no other country in the world who can get away with what Israel's doing with America's blessing. And that's, it's America's blessing that is the problem. This would never, never happen if we didn't look the other way and continue to finance state-sponsored terrorism, which is what the Israelis are committing against the Palestinians.
Mary, first of all, are you able to stay on with us for the second hour? Okay, great, because I can tell based upon the flow of this conversation that we're not going to be able to let you go.
That's you tell me when.
You know, when you're describing these teenagers, I assume they're late in their teens or early 20s, behaving like this, this is the kind of stuff that you read about or hear about that mob thugs do. You know, they beat you up without any worry about getting in trouble, and then to add insult to injury, they rob you. Now, you know, like you, when I first, you know, growing up in America, you really don't have any other choice. You hear one side of the story, which is, oh, the poor Jews, they have suffered this and they have suffered that, and that's why they have to have this country. And, of course, you know, the whole complexion of Israel is painted that, you know, it's this rose blossoming in the middle of the desert, and these people just living in the Holy Land, God's chosen people, and all of that. And then wipe away some of the makeup that is used in covering up this creature. And as you said, I mean, they are a thug state. They have no concern for human rights. They never have. As far as I'm concerned, by the actions that they have clearly supported and executed for the last 60 years, you know, these people, they don't care about anybody but themselves. And I'm not just talking about Palestinians. I'm talking about all 6 billion of us occupying Mother Earth. They seem to have the mindset that if their little experiment in Jewish self-rule, if they have to take the world down with them, that they will do it. Now, based upon what you have seen, because I think that your comments here are very stark and they're very alarming. Where do you see all of this going based upon your firsthand experience dealing with these people?
Well, I think that, of course, the Israelis will never stop what they're doing until America reins them in. And I maybe I'm a Pollyanna, but every time I see any little glimmer that somebody here is getting tough with Israel, like when they say, I mean, the Israelis are really, really upset and angry because America will not attack Iran. And so I kind of take those little things maybe too much to say, oh, maybe America's getting wise to Israel. You know, maybe we're not going to keep on being lockstep with them. Maybe I'm kidding myself, but I believe that nothing will change until America withdraws its support. So I find myself, and this is a dilemma for me, but, and I know many other people, many other friends of mine, most of my friends actually are Jewish, because what's happened is that most of the activists here are Jewish. Most of the people who are standing up and speaking out against what Israel is doing are Jewish people, because they are particularly outraged, because, and many of them are Israeli Jews who refuse to live there. Others are American Jews who are absolutely outraged because they feel that these are crimes that are being committed in their name. And so I have really learned a lot about Judaism and about Zionism, and it's very clear in my mind that the problem is not Judaism, it's Zionism. And the thing is that Israel, the propaganda machine there, they're very adept at turning every criticism of Israeli policies into accusations of anti-Semitism, and nobody wants to be called a racist, so people back down. And I'm always trying to tell people, don't be intimidated. If you feel strongly about anything that Israel is doing, speak out about it, and if they tell you that makes you a racist, you just tell them it doesn't make you a racist. You don't say Jews this, Jews that. It's not about Jews. It's because Palestinians have many, many Jewish friends. They have Israeli Jews who go into village of Bilin every Friday and stand with the Palestinian villagers, and they stand up to the Israelis who are tear gassing them and shooting at them. And so it's not about that. It's about Zionism. Zionism is the danger. Jews have lived in the Middle East for centuries. They've lived side by side with the Palestinians. They're the same people. These are the Jews of the region, the Semitic people, they look the same. They treat each other like brothers. But it's the European Ashkenazi Jews who have come there to colonize the land, and they don't even like the Sephardic Jews. They are ashamed of them. Even within Israel, there are several levels of citizens. Of course, the Palestinians are the lowest one, but there are many levels. I mean, the Ethiopian Jews that have gone in there because they wanted to populate them, they're the lowest among the Jews. And then they've got the Sephardic Jews, who are actually the ones who have the roots there. But they are not very, they just like the blue-eyed blondes, the ones from Europe, who have absolutely no connection to that land at all. They're just Jewish. That's what they are. They have no right to the land, no connection to the land. In fact, I think that's probably why Los Angeles is full of them, because they're all, you know, they're all scarpering out of there. They don't want to live in Israel. You know, they don't like it there. They don't like the life there. They don't, the Palestinians and those other Jewish people, they have a real connection to the land. Their families go back for generations. These new Zionist Jews, they don't really want to live there. They want to control it. They want to own it. But they don't want to live there. And this is a big problem for Israel. And as far as where it's going, you know, I think it's going, and I'm very pleased to see, what I started to say was, I feel a little bit uncomfortable about saying this, but I find myself wanting to see America's fortunes fall to the degree that they will have to cut Israel loose, that the American people will say, we have enough financial problems of our own. We can no longer afford to keep on pouring billions and billions of dollars into Israel. And we're trying to educate the American people as to what is actually being done with that money so that they'll feel justified in speaking out against to the American government and say, we have to stop this because we are supporting a renegade state. It's not a democracy. And so we want you to stop it because it'll never change until America changes its policy.
Well, you know, Mary, the thing is this. You know, people, you know, when they hear you talk about the billions that we're pouring into Israel, it's not just the billions. I mean, when we take into account the cost of the war in Iraq, the cost of the war in Afghanistan, all of the ill will that we have purchased with those billions against a portion of the world that controls or owns most of the world's oil. It's not just the billions that we have poured. I mean, those billions that we have given to Israel directly, whether it's through aid or whether it's through loans, doesn't not even begin to compare to the trillions that we have lost in goodwill and business contacts. I mean, think of what we would be as a nation if we were able to maintain friendly ties with these Middle Eastern countries who have probably the most important commodity that we need in our industrialized society. So this, you're exactly right. I agree with you that, you know, wanting to see the fortunes of the United States. Well, I understand what you're saying. We'll get back to that after the break. Everybody stay tuned. We will be right back.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Here we go.
Hi, folks. Ronnie McMullen here, host of The Prophetic Watch. As a radio host, many products cross my desk every week. Few products are truly worth endorsing because they don't work or there is some kind of catch or gimmick. Dr. Miller's Life Change Tea does exactly what it says. It cleans your body of chemicals, toxins, and parasites, and the effect is you lose weight. That's right, you lose weight. I wouldn't put my name behind this product if it didn't work. Here's how you order. Online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us, 928-308-0408. That's area code 928-308-0408. Finally, a natural product you won't be disappointed in. Getthetea.com.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest. Is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40. And by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms. And they do not go away. Take Super Beta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Super Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Super Beta Prostate banner to learn more about the product.
Well, I walk back down. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, wrapping up the first hour of what I feel is a fascinating discussion that we're having here with Mary Hughes. She was on board the SS Liberty, a civilian humanitarian boat that broke the Israeli blockade of Gaza last month. And Mary has been kind enough to agree to come on and stay for the second hour so we can talk a little bit about the boat trip. Mary, I don't assume you have a website or any way that people can get in touch with you personally that you'd like to put out on the air.
Well, they can email me. My email address is Foxy, F-O-X-Y, at lafn.org. That's L-A like Los Angeles, and FN like freenet.org.
Okay. Okay.
I wanted to say that I do agree with you completely with what you say, and that is something that when George Bush said after 9/11, I don't know why they don't like us. I mean, I jumped up screaming and said, well, ask me. I know why they don't like us. And I heard that in Iraq, from the people in Iraq, they smiled and they knew what it was all about. They said it was all about oil and it was all about Israel. That's the man on the street telling me that. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mary, let me ask you this. You as a Christian woman, living amongst all of these horrible, horrible Muslims, were you, and of course I'm saying that very sarcastically.
Oh, I know.
Because, you know, we hear all the time that the big bad Muslims are going to come and they're going to do this and they're going to do that. You spend enough time around these folks. What do you have to say about all of the stereotyping that we hear about the Muslims being this and the Muslims being that? I mean, obviously they didn't cut off your head. Did you lose any hands?
Didn't lose any body parts at all. No.
They okay.
The only damage was from the hands of the settlers and the soldiers.
Okay. Gang raped? Were you gang raped?
Nothing at all. Nothing.
Okay.
No problem.
It didn't make you part of their harem?
No. It didn't. I wasn't even invited.
Don't take it personally.
I think, actually, to be quite honest about it, and I have to admit that when the Israelis say, well, you know, but the women there, they treat the women very badly, they say things like that, of course, to justify what they're doing. And my response is, well, you know, first we'll get them free, and then we'll deal with getting the women free, you know, because, of course, you know, it's not the kind of society where I would be comfortable, and the men would look at me, and I don't think they would give me much house room, because they can see that they're not going to dominate me. So, as I said, I didn't get any offers. But no, all I got was welcome, was hospitality, where you have to be so careful with the Palestinian people. And we were told this, we were reminded of this when we went to Gaza before we landed. We were reminded by, you know, others in the group, don't admire anything. Never say to a Palestinian, that is a lovely scarf, or I love those beads, or whatever, because you will not be able to get away without them giving them to you. They just will force it upon you. So be very, very careful what you admire. And this is exactly the way the Palestinians are. Everybody knows that. And they will take, I have to say that, there was an occasion in Palestine when I was urging my friends to leave me. It was the first trip, and we had to go over I called it the mountains, because it seemed like mountains to me, but there are hills. But we couldn't get into Nablus through normal routes. And we went over the hills. Did you need a commercial?
Yeah, we've got to go to this break. Doggone it, I wish we didn't, because I know you were just about to get into something good. But that's right. Save it for after the break, and everybody stay tuned. We will pick this up after the break, as well as your phone call.
Let me tell you why.